Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I am welcoming Susan May Warren to my show to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Track of Courage. So welcome back to my show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
I am so happy that you picked this question. It's one of my favorite questions for the heroine, but not a lot of people have picked it, so I'm glad we get to talk about it today. So what does your heroine keep hidden from everyone in this story?
Well, I love this heroine. She's one of my favorites I've ever written. She is a mega, mega pop star called Bliss, and so she has a very robust outward appearance, but she's got a lot of secrets on the inside. So she's a Grammy-nominated singer. She's been in, you know, the top charts kind of thing, but she's in Alaska because she's looking for her birth mom. And so she's trying to figure out who is her birth mom. And she's actually knows, but she's trying to find the courage to talk with her because she also has another secret and she wants her mom's or birth mom's advice. And so they've never met. And of course, during the story, for some reason, she gets kind of pulled away and she doesn't have a chance to talk to her. And that's part of the tension of the story. So she just has a ton of secrets and it's very fun to write multi-layered characters like this.
Yes. Yeah. I know. And sometimes, we can give our characters secrets. They don't always have to be deep, dark secrets, but yeah, secrets are great to add that layer.
Yeah.
And so let's flip to your hero. What is his greatest fear in this story?
Oh, well, here Ed Dawson's a great hero. So he was a lingering side character in my whole Air One Rescue series. He's the cousin of my main characters, and he was actually the brother of the girl that got murdered by the serial killer way back in one of my previous stories. So if anyone has read those, they'll know. Anyway, he's a cop, and he had a tragic event that happened in the very finale of the previous series. So we're picking up his issues. And his greatest fear is losing and failing again. So he lost his sister. He lost another person that he cared about. And then his most recent issue is that he wasn't in time to save this little girl. So he's got a lot of scars, a lot of secrets. Plus, he got injured. He had a whole knee replacement. He's trying to walk again. So he's just a broken guy from the inside out. And he needs someone who believes in him. And so, thankfully, my character is in big trouble. She needs him.
Imagine that, romantic suspense. There's going to be some romance there. Okay.
yes. So anyway, I do love their partnership because he's like this dark, little grumpy sunshine. He's this dark, brooding, broken cop, and she's Bliss. She's like her name says, sunshine, happy lyrics, and I she's kind of like Taylor Swift, you know, real happy, bouncy, mm-hmm. this sort of thing, and he's real dark, so you know, he's like small town Alaska cold. She's like sunshine, rays of light, the whole world, you know, kind of thing. So it's a really fun kind of opposites attract kind of thing, but she desperately needs his help. And he desperately needs her, and he doesn't really realize it. And, of course, there's this dog that kind of ties them together because it's a canine series. So that's really fun, too.
Yeah. So what about the villain? Obviously, there's a villain here, so there's danger in putting him in danger. What motivates your villain in this story?
Sure. So the story itself, it's a trilogy. So this is the first of a trilogy, and basically it centers around this plane crash that happens at the very beginning of the story. And my heroine happens to be one of the passengers on the plane, and the trilogy takes three search and rescue dogs, and it searches for different people that were on the plane or associated with the plane. So it's a very fast-paced story. Each story picks up where the last one left off, although they can be read individually. So I always make my story so that if you haven't read the first one, you can just pick up this one and get caught up right away. But it's so there's this this bad guy, this bad guy on the plane, and he is not after my heroine, but she's collateral damage. And when she sees what he does, she becomes a witness, and then, of course, he wants to take her out. So part of the story is just, you know, her running through the woods. Of course, that happens a lot in Susan May Warren stories. We run through the woods and try to stay away from danger and get rescued, except it's winter in Alaska. There's a blizzard coming. She's a little injured. And of course, there's this dog after her, and she doesn't know if it's a good dog or a bad dog. So the bad guy is one of a family, and we explore the whole family during the three books, but he's one member of this family that's so very bad and has been terrorizing the area for a long time.
Okay, and you already alluded to the story, I mean the setting. So how does it move your story forward, the setting that you have?
Well, I mean, Alaska is such a great backdrop for a story, especially if you're doing search and rescue, right? So there's so many things that can go wrong in Alaska. You've got, you know, landslides and or snowslides or avalanches, and you've got whitewater rivers, and you've got glaciers, and you've got bears and wolves and, you know, all and exposure, all sorts of stuff. And so it's its own, you know, kind of character. And so when the Alaska blizzard descends upon you, you've got to fight that as well as the bad guys. So it just adds another element of stress, danger, tension for the character and for the reader as they're like, how are they going to survive? You know, my characters, they fall through the ice. You know, they have to snowmobile in the middle of the winter and the snowmobile breaks. You know, they come upon a moose. You know, whatever it happens. And so it's just always so fun to write a book in Alaska because there's dangers everywhere.
People
in Alaska are so brave.
I know. I think so too. I'm like, oh my goodness. So what about this particular story? What drew you to write this particular story?
Well, a little bit with the characters, because my character Dawson just really needed his own story as he was developing. As I was developing the previous series, he just kept sort of knocking at the door going, hello, what about me? What about me? and then I was watching, you know, I was kind of watching the Taylor Swift, Kelsey drama and thinking, well, what if he met, Taylor met someone normal? You know, like, you know, what happens when a normal person meets that? And then from the inner journey, I was, the dog really was a big part of it because I had to have a search and rescue dog, but I didn't want him to be a regular dog. I wanted him to be a special dog. So I thought, what if he's a PTSD dog, which is something that the reader sort of figures out before the characters do. But I said, well, what happened? And so I had a total knee replacement about 5 years ago, and it was a disaster. And I thought, what if I write that into the story? I mean, he had his knee replaced, and it's a disaster. And then I've had some trauma from living in Russia, and we had some stuff happen. So I pulled on that, you know, sort of my own experience with PTSD. And then actually, I'm adopted, and so Kelsey is adopted. And so I brought in that. So this is a lot of me in this story, where it's like, you know, either recent personal events or traumas or, you know, just background stuff. And the problem, so put a lot of, you know, some of my own experiences into this story, probably more than some other stories, just because it was so, you know, it was just so relatable to me, all the different things that they were going through.
Oh, I love that, Susan. Well, we are almost out of time, so we're going to close with, what's one thing you want readers to know about Track of Courage?
Well, about hope. I think both my characters feel like they're in a place where they're stuck. I love the metaphor of the blizzard, just that, and that feeling of being cold and snowed out and not knowing what your future is. And you know, of course, we have the sense of, you know, sort of trekking through the storm to get to the other side. And what do they find on the other side? They find hope. They find a new future that they didn't see when they're in the middle of the storm, which is also very metaphorical. You know, we kind of still only see the chaos around us get through the storm. They see the hope. They see what God has for them. And so it's really a story about endurance and staying the course and believing in something on the other side, that hope that God has for us.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'm welcoming Danielle Grandinetti back to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Eyewitness Sketch. So welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So So what past experience has had the most impact on making your heroine who she is today?
So my heroine is Gabrielle Salatino, or Gabby, and her past experience that actually sent her away from the island she ends up returning to. And I say island, it's not a South Pacific island with beaches and palm trees. It's an island in the Great Lakes. So think cold, icy island. Very different. But she ran away because she kissed her childhood friend and has been avoiding him ever since. There's more to it, but you have to read the story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't give too much away. So yeah. What about your hero? What's his first reaction in an emergency situation? I'm guessing he maybe does something heroic. I don't know.
He is a police officer, actually, and has a German Shepherd dog, which this is, for marketing, I call it a canine, but police canines weren't actually a thing yet. They're like, it's right on the border. They really started being trained in the 30s, so I borrow a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's okay.
The two of them are a team, and he and his chief are the only officers on the island. So, you know, emergency comes up, he's calm, cool, collected, unless Gabby happens to be involved, and then that's not his reaction at all.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. So your villain in this story, what motivates this person?
So this story is more mystery than it is like a true romantic suspense. It's more on the, I wouldn't say cozy mystery, it's historical mystery. So my villain is hidden, hopefully, till the very end.
Mm-hmm.
See how well I did. But it's a prohibition story. So think greed and money and hiding identities and all the things that make doing something illegal something that they want to do.
Ah, yeah. Well, you know, those provincial people, they had a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
So what about the setting for this story? Why did you pick this particular setting?
So it kind of goes off of prohibition. So like I mentioned, it's an island, but I'm going to back up a second. So Wisconsin's prohibition laws are fascinating. And I found that there was a small town in Door County, which if you look at a Wisconsin map, it's a little peninsula that goes up past Green Bay along Lake Michigan. And a little town on that Door Peninsula that was a dry town until 2016.
Wow.
Last dry town in Wisconsin. And it just inspired, I think this might be a later question, so I might be getting my questions mixed up, but it inspired the location that I wanted to build a town, a community that was that inspiration and, you know, the history of them voting over, you know, allowing sale of alcohol or not. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, so, I mean, you talked about the setting, and I think you did answer a little bit of the next question, which is what is the genesis of this story? But if you want to go a little deeper into that, that would be great.
Sure. So the genesis of the story was that was really the inspiration and the location. So I chose to make the island up at the very tip of Door County because the strait there is known as Death's Door. And a mystery set at Death's Door just sounded too perfect. So that combo, the reason it's called Death's Door is because of the number of shipwrecks that happened there. It was one of the most dangerous passages, so they created a strait at the bottom of Door Peninsula in Sturgeon Bay to help save the boats. So it was just, but with Prohibition, they would smuggle alcohol down from Canada through the Great Lakes, through Wisconsin. And so the combo of the setting playing into the history. So those two questions kind of go together. They all kind of inspire each other, if that makes sense.
No, that is, I always love the hearing about the history of someplace, even when it's, you know, can be modern or can in the past itself can all twist together. So we are almost out of time. So tell us, what is one thing you want readers to know about Eyewitness Sketch?
So Eyewitness Sketch is the first link, it's a short novel, novel in the Distesso Generalisti Agency series. It is a series about six female journalists who work for a former stunt reporter. And my heroine is a sketch artist, so it was really fun to explore all the different journalists and the different ways they made an impact in their professions.
Ah, I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book today.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I am delighted to welcome Dana Mintink to my show. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Raging Waters. So welcome back, Dana.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So your heroine, who is the most important person in her life in this story?
You know, that's funny because I would have to say it's her brother, Aaron. However, he is deceased. So that's kind of an interesting wrinkle, but he's her kind of become a hero in her mind, and he was murdered before the story begins. So takes on a life of its own from there.
Ah, I see. So the hero in your story, what is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
Well, he, unlike me, is absolutely skilled and totally unflappable. He is a SEER specialist with the Air Force, so survival and being able to react quickly are what he's trained in and performs in every day. So he's very calm in an emergency, unlike what I would be, I think.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really know, Dana, though. I mean, have you ever been in an emergency? No, you don't have to answer that, but I wonder that, too. Will I be calm? Will I do what I think I'll do, or will I, like, completely fall apart? I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad, glad I haven't had to find out.
Right, and you never really know until that moment, do you?
Yeah, you don't, unless you've been trained and you have lots of opportunities. Sounds like your hero is like that.
Right.
So what about your villain in this story? What's one redeeming quality about your villain?
He's extremely organized and dedicated, which can be good things.
Yeah.
They can also be pretty bad things, depending on what you're dedicated to.
Yes, that is so true. And from the title, I bet there's some water in the setting, but how does the setting move the story forward?
Well, very small town, very isolated town, very large dam that is failing, storm system overwhelming the town and cutting off exiting for people who didn't have the good sense to evacuate. So you can kind of see where it's atmospheric in that sense, that we're trapped in a number of ways in this story.
But I bet they're going to find a way out. I have a feeling, Dana. I have a feeling.
You know, I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
So what about this particular story made you want to write it?
Well, I like to write things that scare me, and I'm kind of personally scared of water, of deep water especially. So I thought, how would that be unable to escape a flood, basically? That's pretty terrifying, in my opinion. So, I admire people who have done it and survived, but to me it sounds absolutely terrifying.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. But it sounds like there's probably some positive things in the book as well. So we'll let the readers find that out. We're going to close our short time together with what's one thing you want readers to know about your book?
Well, I think you're going to get an excellent story that's a page-turner, I hope. I hope it'll keep you guessing, lots of surprises, but I also think you'll find some humor there, and you'll find some spiritual reinforcement, I guess you could say. So I'm hoping you come away with a very comforted and uplifted and entertained all at the same time.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Raging Waters on my show today, Dana.
Well, I appreciate it so much, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
I'm delighted to have Sierra Knight on my show talking about her romantic suspense, Winter Harbor Secret. So welcome to my show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we're going to start with the heroine. What past experience has had the most impact on making her who she is today in this story?
So Vivian grew up watching her father lose everything after he destroyed a direct, after he disobeyed a direct order. His choice cost him his career and fractured their family. That kind of shaped her more than anything. She believes structure equals safety, protocol equals protection. She's built her identity around never letting emotion override responsibility. But deep down, she's also wrestling with something spiritual, the idea that grace plays a bigger part. In Winter Harbor Secret, she has to confront whether control truly protects people or whether surrender and trust, even trust in God's bigger plan, might be stronger than she thinks.
Yeah, well, those are some really good questions. I love how we can tackle those really big questions. So what about your hero in this story? What is his biggest regret?
So when he was a child, his best friend fell into water, and he was unable to save him. It was an icy lake, and he felt powerless after that. So that moment shaped him. It's why he runs toward danger instead of away from it. He refuses to let evil win if he can stand in its way. But his regret isn't just about that day. I think it's about believing he has to fix everything himself. He struggles with letting go and trusting that he's not ultimate protector, like not the ultimate protector. Part of his journey is learning that courage doesn't mean playing savior. Sometimes it means trusting God to carry what he can't control. Because we all want to stay in control, right?
Yeah, always, always. So what about your villain in this story? What's his or her motivation?
So this is kind of a unique story in the sense of the villain. It's actually a corporation. It's called Laurel Tide, and it's motivated by, guess what, control. They believe power equals security. So they eliminate risks. They manipulate outcomes. They stage accidents and erase threats before they grow into something substantial for them to be investigated for. It, kind of the contrast to that, the story quietly asks people, what happens when humans try to control everything? It's the opposite of faith. It's the illusion that if you tighten your grip it hard enough, you can outmaneuver consequences. That tension between control and surrender runs underneath like the entire story.
Yeah. And what about the setting? I'm guessing is kind of near water with harbor in the title, but how does it move the story forward?
So what's funny is when I moved onto a trawler, it made me realize about control issues. And I think that's how this whole story came about. The setting kind of forces vulnerability. They're in a decaying trawler in a fog-covered harbor, which strips away comfort. There's no quick backup, no easy escape. Storms roll in fast, electronics fail, the boat creaks and groans under pressure. I think that mirrors life. Storms come whether we're ready or not, on the water and in fate. You learn quickly that you can't control the wind. You can only adjust your sails. The environment pushes both our characters, Blake and Vivian, into dependence on each other, not just on each other, but on something greater than themselves.
Oh, I love that. And what about the writing of this book? What was the hardest part to get this book out?
So I thought when I started it would be all the choreography of, explosive scenes. But I think the hardest writing was the emotional conflict without making either Blake or Vivian wrong. It's they both believe they're protecting people. They just approach it differently. As a faith-based writer at heart, I wanted to explore that tension when obedience, love, justice, and grace collide. Real faith isn't black and white. It's often lived in the gray. Writing those scenes required vulnerability
from me as much as from the characters.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, we are almost out of time, Sierra. So can you tell us, what is your book's tagline?
An icy harbor, a missing agent, a fake marriage that feels far too real.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Winter Harbor Secrets on my show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm delighted to welcome back Lynn H. Blackburn. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Last to Fall. So welcome back to my show, Lynn.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So your heroine's name in this story, why did you pick her name?
So it is a funny story about her name. I know someone. I don't know her well. I just know who she is. And her name is Bronwyn. And I remember thinking, I think that is the coolest name, and it would be a great book name for a character. And then when I was pitching the series, I had a couple of unusual names in the series. I have the heroine of the first book, Never Fall Again. Her name is Landry. And then I have Bronwyn in the third book. And I actually got a little, not pushback, but some questions from the editorial team about the unusual names I had selected. And I did a little check, and I actually put a thing out in my reader group and said, you know, what do you think about names? And the general consensus was, as long as they can pronounce it, they love the more unusual the name, because it helps, especially a really avid reader, helps them keep it straight who they are. Because
yeah.
Readers who read a lot of books have a, they just by the nature of things, have a lot of the same names, and they all kind of blend in. And so the editorial team said, okay, we'll go with it. So that's how Bronwyn got her name.
I love it. I love that. So what about your hero in this story? What is his biggest regret?
Well, I was thinking about this. I was like, this is going to be one of those, I have to be really careful about how I say this, but because I don't want it to be a spoiler.
Right.
But he has, and it becomes clear in the story, that in his youth, and sometimes in his not even that much of a youth, when he gets caught off guard, he doesn't always react well. And if he's hurt in particular, he will lash out verbally. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he'll
mm-hmm.
give it right back to you. And he has made some incorrect assumptions, and those assumptions have cost him dearly. And those are, without a doubt, his greatest regret. And these two characters, I don't think I've ever had a hero and heroine who were so equally to blame for the mess they're in. And so he has a lot of regrets, but so does she. They're both equally responsible, and they'll get it straightened out.
Yeah, I have no doubt, Lynn. I have no doubt they'll get it straightened out. So you're... your villain in this story, what's his or her motivation?
Greed and power. A lot of greed and power, and also just the lengths that they will go to protect themselves from losing that power. You know what I mean? Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's not even not so much about gaining it as it is protecting it. Keeping anybody from taking it away from you. So yeah, greed and power. So kind of a little bit of the oldest kind of stuff anyway, but that's their biggest motivation.
Yeah. Greed. Not a good thing. Not a good thing at mm-hmm. all. So what about the setting? How do you feel like the setting moves your story forward?
Well, this is without a doubt, my favorite setting ever. The town of Gossamer Falls is fictional, but it's set in the mountains of North Carolina, and it's kind of an amalgam of a lot of different small towns in North Carolina. And then, so we have a lot happening there, but primarily we are finally at the Haven, which is the wealthy elite resort tucked away in the mountains. And so I think one of the things that it doesn't always have to be this way, obviously, but I don't know if I've ever written a series, and in particular a book, where the setting was a character as much as it is in this book. You know, sometimes your story could happen anywhere, really. You know, you could change a few things and it wouldn't matter that much. But this series and then this particular book are definitely, all the plot points are related to the setting. Everything is very much, the setting in this story is critical to the whole thing. And it was a lot of fun to write.
So what about the underlying positive message of this story?
Without a doubt, forgiveness and second chances. The grace, the redemption that people can blow it in unbelievably bad ways, where they did. They absolutely did blow it. But forgiveness and redemption are possible. I think we know we can't really do that apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. But I think also that the forgiveness in this case, the forgiveness had been granted even before, in a couple of cases, before the change had really been shown. But also that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change too. People can mess up and then truly change. And that always winds up being in my stories. But again, this one, it was a powerful, powerful second chance story because they both needed it. You know, they both needed a second chance. It wasn't just one or the other of them. And it wasn't just a second chance on their romance either. It was a second chance for them to have a, not a do-over really, but a second chance to get it right. And that was something they did have. So
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing about your book today. And can you close our time together, Lynn, with what is the tagline for Last to Fall?
The tagline is, she's caught in a deadly game. He's the only one who can help her win.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm so glad you were able to talk about your book today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.